Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Friends, allow me now to introduce you to James Flaming Eagle Mooney, elder and Seminole medicine man. How are you, my brother?
Hey, feeling really good today. Really good, Otto.
Well, I'm doing well myself. We had a little fun today.
Yes, we did.
What did you have to? What did you want to talk about? You wanted to talk about the future, huh?
Well, that's what it's all about. I know that we have churches and members of Aklava Native American Church all around the country that are standing up for their constitutional rights under difficult and challenging circumstances. And I personally believe that they will all be successful, as Linda and I were, in standing up for our constitutional rights against the state of Utah as well as the United States government. And I believe that as they are bonding together, there are people in Hawaii, people in Arizona, people in even Utah that are standing up for their constitutional rights, and by them doing that, it's going to benefit the entire complexion of our political complexion of our entire nation. And I think Linda and my attorney back in 2006, Catherine Collard, on broadcast TV made a statement after our successful stand against the state of Utah with the Utah Supreme Court decision. She said very, very emphatically to the cameras, saying that it seems that every generation has to make the stand. Every generation. It's interesting, but it just seems like these particular principles are so ingrained, and because of people and organizations, whether they're religious or commerce, they seem to feel and think that they can make a profit or advance their ideology by suppressing other people's constitutional rights, which is really, in my mind, a very immature understanding of what life's principles for peace and joy is all about. And it just seems like we have to be reminded by some strong folks like these people in Arizona and in Hawaii. It just seems to be that way. And I think that as more people do these things, then it'll be like a tidal wave eventually. That this hypocrisy and the illegal legislative rules and laws that are being passed will go away because they cannot stand up against a mass movement of goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
No, my great grandmother, not my great grandmother, but my elder grandmother of my children, she said to me one time, is that, you know, when I was just so upset, I was so angry, and she put her hand on my shoulders, and she just said to me and looked at me right in my eyes and says, you know, James, with love and patience and forgiveness, all injustices will be corrected over a period of time. And mm-hmm. I really feel that. You know, we have to get this anger out of our heart, like we've been, what you might say, mistreated and things like that. You know, it's just, it's the process of life, and it takes people to be sincere in their stand and not waver. And these folks that are not plea bargaining and are standing up for their constitutional rights in a judicial system that does not want to allow them their constitutional rights to be heard, or to be even, it's like it's difficult for these attorneys in each one of these states because of the inappropriate principles, or not principles, but standards that have been placed in the court system of this country, that it's a taboo for you to file a petition to dismiss. And I'm finding out some attorneys are just scared to death. They said, you know, I've got to practice law in this state for my entire career. And if I should do something like this, I will put that in jeopardy. I mean, holy mackerel. That's really a horrible statement to make. But there's attorneys like Catherine Collard, Steve Kilpak, who did precisely that, against all odds, they just had courage, just courage like you cannot believe, and their associates, Christine Angelos, and their investigators, Robin Howell, these were federal attorneys and federal investigators. I mean, the courage that these people exhibited to go up against the entire wall of deception that is being practiced by our entire judicial system, it just takes courage. And my prayer is that there will this justice and their solemn oath that they've taken to uphold the principles of it and protect the principles of the Constitution, these attorneys will have the light and the motivation to honor these things, to honor their solemn oath. I mean, you think about it. You know, mainly, you know, the Vietnam War is the thing that stands out in my generation. Yeah. And I think about the 55,000 men and women that gave their lives up to support and to protect that Constitution. I mean, that's what this is about. You know, even though these wars that we're doing to me are inappropriate actions that have been taken by our government, but the underlying principle was the desire to protect that Constitution. And it makes me feel really, really good to realize other countries now in 2000 are starting to have voting or elections, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy mackerel! What a movement! What mm-hmm. a movement! And this has happened in less than 300 years, for goodness sakes, from the time our Constitution was first signed. I mean, to me, you know, sometimes it looks like it's moving so slow, but when you look in the time frame of of mankind, holy mackerel, it's moving like light years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have a lot of confidence in our country and in the integrity of the youth and the stability of our elders that are guiding us with just love and patience. And but I know that it all has to be done with forgiveness at the forefront of our minds, because the moment we retaliate to some injustice, everybody loses. We keep that cycle moving on. And it just takes courage, a lot of prayer, to be able to withstand the winds that try to knock you over when you're standing up for your rights. But I know that if you do that, and you do it with prayer, and you do it with honoring your heritage, and the thousands of people that have sacrificed their lives to uphold that Constitution, I know there's nothing that can prevail against your stand for your constitutional rights.
Well, you certainly have a high perspective, and that's what it takes. You know, you talked about patience the last time we were together, or maybe the time before that, and I remember when I spoke with Grandfather Russell Means, and I asked him about Mad Mayor Anderson, and I said what was he like? What were his gifts? And his number one gift was, he said, was patience. You know. And you've got a lot more patience than I do. But, you know, yeah, we need more lawyers. We need more Indian lawyers, but we need them like the ones on Harry's Law. We need those fearless. I'm not in it to make millions. I see so much greed. It's like, you know, I went to the dentist recently, and I could not believe how much it cost to get a tooth pulled. And they quoted me a price of $50. And then before I was out of the chair, they had baited and switched me to $200 just to pull a tooth, you know. And I started looking into what dentists are charging, and you know, it for a lot of years, you know, what they've been charging has been far outstripping inflation, and it just I don't know. And then you look at the parallel histories of other republics like Rome, and you find that the biggest reason why they fell is because of greed and because of conspiracies, because that's basically the way most republics fail, is from within. And you can get pretty pessimistic about things, but I can see why they call you Flaming Eagle, because you've got a very high perspective and you're on fire for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Blue Otter. I want to say or express on our website, we have 7 words that are being scrolled at the bottom of every page. And 2 of those words are charity, and the other one is humility. And my belief is that if you keep at the forefront of your mind charity and humility, and learn to master the principles that those words stand for, of charity and humility, then you develop an armor against the penetration of greed and pride. Because I do believe that pride and greed work hand in hand to undermine the goodness of the human condition. And if we constantly work on strengthening our abilities to have charity and humility in our hearts and in our actions, then we'll see miracles happen. And if you couple that with forgiveness, holy mackerel, the change will be rapid. It'll be just so rapid. And you know, the elders, as I'm speaking of forgiveness, I've shared this story with other people. But at the beginning, when I first developed Aklava Native American Church in 1997, I did that at the request of Clifford White Buffalo Man Jake, a Paiute Bannock Shoshone roadman. And when this man assisted in my curing of bipolar manic depressive, which was about ready to take me to the other side, and after about 3 or 4 months of his tutelage, I realized that I no longer needed any lithium that I was taking. I was taking up to 1,800 milligrams of lithium a day. And his ceremonies that he conducted with other roadmen, a Navajo couple, as a matter of fact, down in Navajo land, after about 4 of these specific ceremonies to overcome this imbalance that I had, and then I realized after 3 or 4 months after these set of ceremonies, I realized I didn't have a need or desire, or lithium wasn't even considered to be part of my life anymore, because it just something had been cured inside me. Inside my heart, inside my soul. I went to Clifford and I said, "Clifford, you've got to take this to the white man." Well, when I said that, he didn't respond in the manner that I thought he would. And I'm not going to repeat what he said. And then I said that I think we ought to take it to, well, if we don't take it to the white man, we ought to take it to a group of people. And then he really got angry. And he said, "You know, James, you take this medicine to the white man. The white man's going to throw you in jail, and the Indians are going to try to kill you." Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that really proved to be true, you know. And, I mean, I was just astounded. And then he proceeded to take the next 10 years to train me in his ways so that I could take it to the white man. But he would not take it, and for whatever the reasons. And he introduced me to anybody and everybody. He was the primary principal that got me to go to Mexico to sit with the Huicholes, because he said, "They're the caretakers of the peyote. We just learn from them, James." And so he saw to it that I was invited to ceremonies with the Huicholes, and eventually they actually came up from Mexico and blessed me to continue their ways in the United States.
Hey, I don't mean to interrupt you. We didn't plan this, but I got to play a song right now. I'm not even going to ask permission. Here it is.
Author Ken Tarrant. I don't know about you, but I feel a profound, passionate sense that we need to use our human voices to represent some of these things that can't speak for themselves. I mean, responsibility is kind of a heavy word, but we have an opportunity. We have something we can really give the earth. Think of all that the earth has given us. We've got a real chance here to give back a gift to the earth and all her creatures by going with our hearts and by getting involved in whatever that issue-related area is for you. I just want to say, like, I really believe in the Rainbow Warriors. the true human. Rainbow warriors, like, go for it. All of you, whatever it is, whatever your path is, whatever you're called to, go for it.
There was a man named Mahatma Gandhi. Would not bow down, he would not fight. He knew the deal was down and dirty. Nothing wrong could make it right away. But he knew his duty and the price he had to pay. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man from Atlanta, Georgia, name of Martin Luther King, shook the land like rolling thunder, made the bell of freedom ring that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man who dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man called Christ Almighty, the only one called Jesus Christ. Healed the lame and fed the hungry. For his love they took his life away. On the road to glory, where the story never ends. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. There is a place called South Dakota. It's the home of Sitting Bull. He was branded a Redskin savage when he tried to defend his land that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Sing the song of Mahatma Gandhi. Sing of Martin Luther King. Sing the song of Christ Almighty. Sing a song of Sitting Bull.
Floyd Westerman, ladies and gentlemen. Floyd Westerman.
And I hope someday we're not going to extend it for you, James. And yet, you know, folks, James will tell you, I have a habit of interrupting him sometimes, but I could not resist that. I just had to play that song right then. By the way, we have more Mark the Badger Borchening with us, and we've also got, yes, he's there. And we also have the mother of the Mother Medicine Wheel with us. And what was your name again? I'm sorry.
This is Tracy Elise. Hello.
Hi, Tracy. And James was in mid-speech talking about the Wecholia. I'm sure he doesn't remember where he was, but...
Well, I think having Tracy on the line is extremely important and
yes,
will be of incredible interest to most of your listeners, Blue Otter. I'd like to share a little bit about... Tracy. Tracy is someone that I've known for almost 2 or 3 years. Am I right, Tracy?
Yeah, we met in 2010 on the phone and on the internet. We had many passionate phone conversations where we spoke of religious freedom, matriarchal values. It was a real weaving where I was bringing the concept of goddess, the female aspect of God, and Tantra, and which is an ancient religion practiced by the Hindu and also the Tibetan Buddhists, and we began to weave. And I had a clear moment that I knew I really wanted to get to know James when I read about how brave and how strong he and his partner, his wife, Linda Brighthawk Mooney, how they stood for what was right, and they were victorious, and they are victorious. And so I really knew I had to meet this man because I knew I was up against some stiff opposition in a dominator culture, a patriarchy where male values are held as more important than feminine values. I knew that I was going to need to align myself with some masculine champion energy. And what James said to me that said, this is right for me, we both had our own moments, and James can share his moment. My moment when I knew this was going to be a fit was when James said, we've always held in the Native American church holy anointing. And that's, the goddess temple has always been about anointing the holy body. In the religion I was raised, Christianity, God the Father speaks sound, light. We associate heaven and God with light and the sky and the heavens above, but it's not, it doesn't land in the body. We as Christians, we do service with our body, but when it comes to sexuality, birth, conscious conception, how the energy of touching another person can actually heal your energy, that's been denied by the traditional church. And so James said, sex, birth, and death are the three great rites, sex, birth, and death, because you can't have birth and death without sex, so it's all together.
Sounds sex, like a rabbi to me.
Yeah, sex, birth, and death are the three great rites given to every living creature by the Creator. And I said, yes, that's exactly right. Nobody got here without a mother and a father making love, co-creating. That's how life begins, is that co-creation. And Tantra is an ancient 5,000-6,000-year-old religion which says at the source there's both a mother and a father. And when people see that I'm associated with the Phoenix Goddess Temple, they sometimes think that means that I want women to be in charge and rule the roost the way, you know, that goddess is over God. Absolutely not. Women have special gifts, and men have special gifts. And when we bring those gifts and talents together, and we each have our own strengths, that's when we have heaven on earth, when, you know, that's when it all comes together and we actually have life. So,
you know, I'd like to add something here right now. Anybody that has practiced American Native ceremonies, especially the sweat lodge or the sacred prayer pipe, keep in mind, those two ceremonies are very vividly expresses the relationship between man and woman. The sweat lodge ceremony, in actuality, is a demonstration of the creation process. When you look at the stones of the fire, which represents the father, and the stones represent the seed of man, and then you have the sweat lodge, which is a representation of the mother's womb. And inside there is a small little hole that represents the egg of the mother. And then you take the stones from the fire and you place them inside the womb of the mother. I mean, that is the process of creation. And when you look at the talking circle that goes on prior to the time you go into the lodge, then you know that is a representation of the pre-existence. And so you talk in the pre-existence as, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I feel are the challenges that I'm going to meet. And then we go into the lodge, and then we have this creation process being exhibited. And then when four rounds or whatever the rounds are, and you come out of that lodge, and then you go into a sweat lodge, or excuse me, into a running spring, then there's a form of baptism into this new world. So when Tracy was talking And then the final thing that really ingrained me in saying, I am going to support this woman, was when she and I were talking about midwifery, and that she wanted to make that a sacred calling within her church. Holy mackerel. I just said, this is it. I am going to do everything in my power to support this lady. And so shortly after that conversation over the phone, I actually flew down to Arizona and blessed her and her church, Mother Medicine Wheel, and another church up in Sedona called Aquaba Native American Church of ISTA, which is an international tantra teaching organization. These people are dedicated. And like me, when they started coming after me for taking heroin addicts off the street, etc., giving people from prison a place to live and help assistance in getting jobs and transportation so that they could stay out of prison, they arrested me. And they left my wife and tried to outlaw the entire Native American culture inside the state of Utah. And they called me a drug dealer. And so pardon me?
Corey's just laughing.
That was just me. I was just thought it was what they were accusing you in. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. Who's speaking there?
Mark.
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
This
but anyway...
The Badger.
The interesting thing about Tracy is that, they treated me like I was a drug dealer. And I'm talking about, they plastered my wife and my name and our church all over the news media. My face was more exposed than the governor of the state of Utah, goodness sakes, during that period of time for about 4 years. People knew me by my face more so than they did Governor Levitt at that time. And it was all always associated with being a drug dealer. Well, they're doing the same thing with Tracy in Arizona. They're treating her like a prostitute, for goodness sakes. I mean, that is the exact opposite of what this woman... As a matter of fact, before she was actually arrested, about, I don't know, what was it, about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, Tracy?
Oh, no, it's been a long... September 7th of 2011... SWAT teams, fully armed, battering rams, automatic rifles, masks, so that they could, be scary, I guess, actually raided 5 locations in Arizona. It was the Temple and School in Phoenix, and then my home in Sedona, and the school, the International School of Temple Arts in Sedona, and, of course, the Sedona Temple. And what's interesting about Sedona Temple and the School of Arts in Sedona, we had gone through a 14-month process. I'm very much a part of that temple church as well. And they had, through a very long process, we had worked with planning and zoning over a 14-month period to really weave with the community and explain what we were up to with these whispers about sacred sexuality, And what are they doing over there with sacred sexuality, tantra? What is that? And so even as we were affirmed that we were not what we've now been accused of by the full city council of the city of Sedona, the mayor, the vice mayor, in a long process, very thoughtful process, and they actually voted to permit us 6 in favor, 0 against. They understood that we were doing the work of the mother and tantra work and shaman work. They understood that, but Sedona as a community is a community that people come from all over the world. It's a spiritual mecca in the United States because of the vortexes of the mother. And so there are 7 vortexes that are main established vortexes there. And, of course, I teach Egyptian magnetic touch, which focuses on the human chakra systems, which are the vortexes where energy enters the body and leaves the body. And, of course, Sedona has these 7 land vortexes, some of which are male, that is the energy leaves the mother that way, and then there's other vortexes where the energy is drawn into the mother's body.
Tracy,
so,
issue is that even with all this evidence, and then... It was about, I think, 3 weeks or a few weeks prior to the raiding of all these churches, I had already blessed them, and with paperwork and the whole thing, people had acquired ONAC, or Aquava Native American Church, authorized participation cards. We had designated medicine people. I mean, everything. And this was prior to the raid. And when they raided one of the churches, especially the one in Sedona, it just so happened there had been a Swedish, Switzerland, is that Swedish? Not Sweden, but Swiss.
It was a Swiss film crew, yes, Switzerland, yes.
It was a Switzerland film crew that sent, it was a TV station that had sent people to a film crew to come to Sedona to sit with me and other elders. And as we are discussing the difficulties that this Switzerland film crew was asking, is why is it so difficult for the American Native culture to be able to prosper when it has such beautiful teachings and principles in which it's guided by? And at the time of these elders being filmed, there's this raid going on in this incredible church building. And, I mean, with waterfall. I mean, it's just a beautiful place. And here's these elders on film talking about the difficulties they're having in the worshiping in the United States. And here the film crew is able to film the SWAT team members with guns raised and everything. I mean, holy mackerel. It was just incredible. And the timing of it. And so anyway, here they are doing the same thing. And when I say the same thing, in principles, standing up for their constitutional religious rights, but giving peace to lost souls that are coming to them that have such irrational or difficult creative concepts about what their bodies are for and everything, and this organization is healing them of the same. Of these things, like I was healing people with substance abuse problems, and they're arresting these people and just blacklisting them throughout the entire Arizona news meeting, which I actually went international as prostitutes. I mean, it was just incredible. And what really bothers me is the day before the raiding of all these churches, Tracy called me, and she said, "We've just taken this gal off the streets of Phoenix that was selling herself, and she said, James, we can handle her inappropriate sexual behavior, but she has a substance abuse challenge, and I would like you to help her out." And of course, I said, "Sure, I'll be more than happy to." I mean, that's the kind of woman Tracy is. That's the kind of work that Tracy is doing down there. And in Arizona, they're trying to prosecute her as I don't know, international conspiracy to advance.
We were called a crime syndicate, and. But, you know, it's about preferring one religion over another. The state of Arizona is preferring because, and I found out this is actually a nationwide program where the Vice Squad cooperates with the Catholic Church nationwide, and here in Phoenix they call it Operation Rose or Project Rose, something like that. And it's interesting because Rose is the name of Mary Magdalene, Jesus' beloved. But and what they do is they round up prostitutes. They'll take all the available cops, not more than the Vice Squad, all the available cops, and for a 24-hour period, they round up every woman who's selling sex that they can find that's selling sex. And then they herd them down to the Catholic Church, and I heard the Baptists recently got involved too, but they'll herd them into the church and say, "Now, if you do these programs here at the Catholic Church, we will drop the charges against you."
Huh.
And yet I believe that the reason we've been attacked is that in 2011, I began to allow women who came to me and said, I have been an escort. I have been working in a massage parlor. I believe this work is more. I've been reading about the mother's work, the work of the feminine aspect of God. You've got an ordination program. You've got classes every Friday. You've got workshops. You've got internationally known teachers of sacred sexuality, sexual shamanism, full spectrum energy healing, whole body healing. Wow, this is my dream. This is what I think is what I'm capable of. I'm capable of healing people. And so I had these women coming in, and I believe that part of why they came after us was because I had a ministry with people who were trying to leave that lifestyle, and they're holding that against me.
You know, our ancestors didn't have problems with the pilgrims. They started having problems when the Puritans came, and we've got a puritanical streak running through religion in this country, and that's the problem.
Yes, and it's been codified into law. I want to say that those values have been codified into law. They absolutely have.
Yep. Hey, do you know Harvey Swift, Dear Reagan?
I do not.
Oh, my gosh. He was teaching Cherokee sacred sex in Arizona for a long time. I mean,
now,
is that
known as Swift Deer?
Yeah, Swift Deer.
Yeah, okay. He's still doing that, and I heard some good news. I mean, they've been totally harassed over a 30-year period.
Yeah.
Many of the women that were healers had trained with him or some of his, I guess you'd call them students. I don't know exactly what the proper term is for the people who've committed to that path. Before I met James, I took a vow in 2005. I took my first vow in 2002 to serve the mother. And then in 2005, I founded the Order of the Mystic Sisters. And we tongue-in-cheek call ourselves of the Holy Church of Mary Mary, because in Christianity, the mother, the all-powerful mother aspect of the Creator, has been split into two Marys. You have the sexless mother, and everybody, I want you to feel that for a minute, sexless mother. I'm sorry. I'm not trashing the virgin birth, but what I'm saying is, in that religion, it's held up to women that mothers, good mothers, are sexless. And then the other Mary is Mary Magdalene, who they called a prostitute and a fallen woman. And they split the goddess, the great mother, and made a good woman sexless and a bad woman is sexual. And the Catholic Church has admitted, I think it was 1969, that they put out one of their papal decrees that that Mary Magdalene, sorry, she's not really a prostitute, you know, we're going to admit that she's not. And if you study those lost 20 years of Jesus, you'll discover that Mary Magdalene, the priestess of the Egyptian mystery schools,
of course she was.
Priestess of Isis, and full spectrum energy. Here's the thing. We're being denied the power of our root. We are water. We're made of water and bone, and we are electric beings. We have life force energy flowing through us, and 70% of the energy flows at the root. We're being denied access to our own power.
Tracy?
Yes.
Tracy? You know, these things that you're talking about, it's like we're not being denied. We're not being denied. Because when you put yourself in a position that we're being denied, we're being placed in a victimization place. And Native American counseling concepts has no place for victims. Because
I totally agree with you. And you know what? I so agree, James. And that's why you're my teacher. That's why I decided to go into your church, because you remind me of these important things. Yes.
So what I'm saying is that we're gods and goddesses. That's what we are. And I've never known a god, or I can't even imagine a god being a victim of anybody or anything. And so
I personally believe,
people like yourself and other people, such as Sitting Bull, such as Sacagawea, such as these incredible human beings of history, these people took these opportunities of prejudice and of an opportunity to stand up for the goodness of what this life is all about. And so it's just, the concept of seeing ourselves as being a victim doesn't fit with me.
I'd like to address that, why I'm feeling that way this hour that I'm on the phone with you. My daughter is facing a lifetime as a felony, control of an illegal enterprise. The prosecutor here filed a motion on Friday to deny all discussion of religion, even though that's why we did it. And my daughter's been weeping for days, for days, because she graduated magna cum laude from the Arizona University with 2 degrees, and now her life is shattered because she trusted her mother and she trusted the Constitution. And so there is a bit of that. Here's the funny thing. There aren't that many goddess temples or women's religions, because women, when they're faced with quality of life and preserving life, women will put quality of life and preserving life ahead of everything else, ahead of abstract concepts of, well, who is God? And that's why the feminine wisdom has been nearly erased from this earth. You know, systems that just deny that feminine wisdom is equal to masculine wisdom. I'm not asking to be over anybody. I just want an equal. I just want to be heard as an equal person.
Well, as you and I have shared time and time and time again, I personally believe that the largest religion in the world is the indigenous religion of indigenous people of all the continents of this country. And with that, and with that understanding, that they honor and worship Mother Earth as their temple, it makes the indigenous religion, in my mind, a matriarchal religion. And throughout the history of mankind, they have been at war with the original main religion of the human condition, which is matriarchal. And if anybody wants to question that, you ask yourself, where did the Chinupa come from of the Lakota Sioux? Came from white buffalo calf woman. Where did the peyote come to the Huicholes? It came from the mothers. The sweat lodge came from the woman. So the entire movement of the patriarchal concepts have done everything possible to suppress, outlaw the mother and the matriarchal religions of this world. And I personally believe in 1918, when the Native American Church was formulated, that Native American Church was actually formulated to protect the matriarchal religion of the world, the indigenous religion. And because what the Bureau of Indian Affairs and people that influenced the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which was mostly Christian religions, Catholics, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Protestants, they were totally against the Native American culture from being advanced, because the culture itself has no in-between person or entity between them and God. Native American culture and the indigenous culture of this world says we talk to God face-to-face, where the other religions seem to go into their churches to hear somebody talk about somebody, some God, and where we just talk to God face-to-face, and we are totally entrenched with the earth. And when you think about that for a moment, the earth is the indigenous religions of this world, or the Native American churches. That's its temple, which makes it very, very powerful. And so the belief is straight out, is that the Native American church is the only representative of the matriarchal religion of the world, to be frank with you, that is recognized by the United States government as such. So anyway, before we continue this, I think, Blue Otter, you have some other phone calls, I think, and then also you have some music you wanted to share with us. Hello?
Sorry about that. At the first half hour, I did play what we were planning on doing for our shows, is we were going to play snippets of Hidden Truth, And I played that. I'll go ahead and play it again, and then we're going to plan on playing. Okay. Let's let me find it here again. No, there it is.
The sacred fire's burning deep within my soul. The fight of the eagle guides my way.
James and I had talked about was every half hour, when we have our hard kickoff in August, we're going to have half hour segments, and we'll play these four or five clips in between these segments. You want to go ahead and play clip number two, James?
No, let's stop here and then another time we can go ahead and play another.
You bet. Just let me know. They're ready.
Tracy, are you still there?
We have Don Warden's on the phone with us, too.
Hi, Donald.
How are you?
Well, I'm kind, loving, and gentle today.
we're having a nice little storm out here in Virginia where I'm from.
Oh.
So
what do you think? So, Donald, what do you think of about what Trish has been talking about?
Well, I was having trouble hearing some of it. My internet kept winking out on me, but most of what I was hearing, it seems like any non-traditional religion is getting harassed by various government entities, and that's never good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what brought you to listening to this station today?
Well, I have subscribed to the Prophecy Keepers Radio, and I get emails reminding me of shows and everything. So, but I've been, since I talked to you last week, I've been looking forward to this one all week long. So, here I am.
Good.
I had a little trouble getting through earlier because, again, the storm here, I think, was interfering with our telephone lines a bit, too.
Yeah, I'd like to say some things directed to the subject that Tracy has been talking about, especially her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how horrible the prosecution, the attempted prosecution, because I personally believe it's going to fail. But the thing is here you have this young lady, and I know her. And
mm-hmm.
she is just a brilliant and sweet lady. And here she is being threatened for doing, in my mind, God's work and utilizing her education to spread this beautiful work that Tracy has been doing. I mean, this is the criminal act. It's not what she's doing. It is what the prosecution team in Arizona is doing, as it was when they attempted trying to say that I was a drug dealer for taking heroin addicts off the street. We're not only taking heroin addicts off the street, we were giving homes to mothers of children, up to four or five children. We were bringing them in. And as a matter of fact, they were living in our church when they raided a SWAT team. I mean,
yes. We were sheltering people. We were feeding people. We were training and educating people for a better life.
We were removing guilt, shame, and fear. I'd like to address addiction for a minute. James is working with people who have various forms of chemical addiction. One of the biggest problems that America is facing is the breakdown of the family unit, and how that happens is that pair bonds, when two people love each other, they come together, and there are children that come forth from that union, and then the pair bond breaks down. And sexuality is a magnetic, full-spectrum energy event. When we make love, we share energy with one another. And in that, in the Egyptian teaching, men and women are oppositely charged. You can actually feel this in your body. Men and women are oppositely charged. Men tend to outflow. Women tend to inflow. What I thought was interesting is I'm a priestess of Egyptian teachings, and they also teach that the father aspect is the upper chakras, the upper energy centers, and that the mother is the earth. And so, but what we were, one of the things that we deal with at the temple is how men don't have confidence when they're touching their women, making love with their women. They don't know what to do. Then the women don't want to make love. Then they stop touching each other, and they stop making love. And through that lovemaking and the energy that they exchange, in that holy moment in the temple, we refer to this as the personal nova, but it's your being filled with light and energy. Most people would agree that an orgasm is an energy and light event. And we're dealing with 40 million Americans every day logging on to pornography. And there is an addiction to this. I personally have seen hundreds of men, seekers, who are addicted to pornography. And they say that healing an addiction to porn, on, you know, which is easily available now, is as bad as trying to heal an addiction to heroin. It is the same thing because the body registers these pleasure circuits. But the problem is it actually trains a man's energy away from magnetics with a living woman. And he becomes a self-contained unit. And in the temple, we teach men how to, if they're going to partake of erotic adult films, if they're going to, how to do it in a way that brings them closer to their partner and amplifies their mastery of their life force energy. So we were dealing with addiction as well. We were dealing with breakdowns of the family unit as well. And it's a whole thing. In this country, there's so much shame there that people can't even talk about it.
Okay, what's really going on with addictions, in my personal opinion, is to deny yourself of feeling, of being present, of being in the now. And whether the addiction is heroin, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a sexual addiction, it makes no difference. What the essence of the whole process of addiction is avoiding feeling in the present. That's what it really is. And so what the Native American ceremonies do and what Tracy was doing was simply getting people in the present, in the now, because when you're living in the now, in the present moment, it is heaven on earth. If you're not in the now, it's because you're planning something for the future, and or you're afraid of something from your past may catch up to you. And so if you divorce yourself from those two shortcomings and just live in the now, you don't have addiction problems. You don't have any addictions. And so the ceremonies, especially the sweat lodge ceremony, and if you combine it with peyote or San Pedro or ayahuasca, not maybe not so ayahuasca, but maybe I know San Pedro and peyote. You, when you are with those God-given gifts in a ceremony such as a sweat lodge ceremony, oh my goodness, you cannot help to be in the present, in the now. And that is the reason in the prison system in Gunnison, when I instituted the sweat lodge ceremonies and the sacred prayer pipe ceremony and the breath the sacred breath ceremonies in Gunnison Prison, holy mackerel, the changes were just astronomical. within 18 months of conducting the Native American counseling systems and these ceremonies, in 18-month period, we were able to truly document and prove that these ceremonies work in dropping recidivism. The recidivism rate in Gunnison went from 90% to less than 30% in less than 18 months.
Oh, and congratulations.
What was so weird about that is the moment they found out, the system found this out, an organization that had a program similar to what I had in name came to me and said, I understand you are just off the charts. I said, yeah, would you like to see them? She said, yeah, I sure would. And so I gave those figures to them. And he said, holy mackerel, you've got this all documented and everything. Yeah, I do. He said, can I have these? I said, most surely, yeah, just take them. And so he took those figures from that program, took them to the state legislature, and got $1.5 million to continue the program that he's been doing that doesn't do a dang thing, and then they canceled mine.
Yeah. So I'd like to share a little story about Sylvia and something that she, when doing one of the ceremonies with you.
Just a moment, let me finish. Okay?
And before you do, folks, before you do, somebody's breathing into their mic. Make sure your nose is away from your microphone.
Okay. Are you okay now? Is it okay? All right. So can I continue?
Yeah, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. It was somebody else. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All righty. Are there some other people that haven't announced themselves on the line?
No. We've got Don and Nikki and Mark and you and I.
Hi, Nikki.
No, not Nikki. I'm sorry. I don't know your names yet. The lady from Tracy. Tracy. I'm sorry.
Tracy. Yeah, no problem. Well, anyway, what I wanted to get into is that making these inroads with these beautiful concepts that are totally contrary to what is going on, it takes sacrifices. You take Gandhi, for instance. I mean, people literally, as they were doing their marching to the sea for salt, I mean, there were hundreds of people that were murdered, the government. Murdered. You think about that. You think about Martin Luther King as he's going through and he says, you know, he gets knocked down with a club, and he was. He was beat up with clubs. And he looked up at the people and said, you know, I know you don't understand what's going on, but I still love you. He still loves you. He's in jail. And he says, that's okay. No big deal. I'm getting 3 squares in a bunk. No big deal. But yet people were dying. People were strung up. People were burned. I mean, it was horrible, the sacrifices that some of these people have paid. And I look at myself. I look at the things that I went through. You know what the consequences I had to do? I sat in jail for 14 freaking days. Big deal. I read about 3 books. I was treated incredibly well. I didn't have to worry about utilities. I didn't have to do nothing. It was a vacation. That's my sacrifice? Give me a freaking break. Compared to what our ancestors have gone through. I look at Leslie Fulbow. Leslie Fulbow. I go up there because people are trying to kill me. Indians are trying to kill me. Completing the vision Clifford, White Buffalo Man Jake said, the white man's going to throw you in his jails and the Indians are going to try to kill you. And so when they started to threaten myself and then threatened to kill my entire family, my wife and my children, I called some people that were really connected with the elders throughout the United States and Canada, and I said, man, they're threatening to kill me. The Indians are. And he says, you got to go up and get blessed by Leslie Fulbow, the most powerful roadman in the world today.
And so I ran up there, man. I drove 10 hours to get to him. I found him in a hospital bed. And as I was standing at the doorway to his hospital room, he looked up at me and sees me. And he says, you need my help. And I said, yeah, I sure do. And he said, well, come on over here. Well, because I've known a little bit about our traditions, I had a whole bundle of about 300 buttons of peyote, and I gifted that to him. And I'll never forget it. It's like it just happened yesterday. He takes this bundle of peyote from me, and he holds it to his heart, and he starts sobbing. Sobbing. I have never experienced gratitude like that in my entire life. In my entire life. And after he starts to gather himself, he looks up at me and says, well, let's get this blessing taken care of. And so he said this blessing. And he said it in his language. I didn't understand a word he said. And then after he finished, he looked at me and he says, you didn't understand a thing I said, did you, James? I said, absolutely not. And he says, come here. And he looked at me right in my eyes, holding this bag of peyote to his heart. And he said to me, take this medicine to the white man, James. That's my blessing to you. Now, that may not sound really profound unless you know this. His direct ancestors were murdered and massacred at Wounded Knee in 1890, December the 30th. I have never experienced forgiveness in such a magnitude, in such a most compelling manner in my life. And so that's what I have to say to you, Tracy. I know the turmoil.
May I say, James, that I'm okay? I personally am okay. As a woman, we experience these things a little different than a man, so I'll bet you money, because when I met Linda, she said, we're done fighting. She said, we've done our fight, and we've succeeded. But see, here's the thing. This is a temple of women. That the Creator made women to create life in our bodies and to preserve the quality of life. So women, when there's big trouble, unless a woman happens to be a warrior-type woman, the women who truly have that kind of mother energy, that preserving life, creating life, the hearth, the home, when a bad thing happens, women are frequently sent to the hills, to the caves, to preserve life. They're not left in the front lines. And we've got 33 people, 3 men, 30 women in the front lines, standing up for the mother, the matriarchy, the feminine aspect of God. And these women are being told, you know, you're facing all this time in prison. Here's the thing. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. My spirit led me here, so I'm okay with it. But it is hard as a mother to see, and as a leader, to see these people who trusted the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Trusted the Constitution,
Tracy,
and they were led into an ambush. That's how
they
feel.
Tracy, can you imagine the mother of 6 children, little children, and her parents, and I'm talking about Linda, being escorted in and out of a courtroom and blasted all over the news media in handcuffs, being proclaimed as a drug dealer.
Yes, because it's happening to my family. Yes, I can imagine it. Yes, I can.
Okay. And I'm saying to you, these are the sacrifices that we're going through and that we went through. Yeah, Linda says she's done fighting because she's already fought the battle, and she won, and victorious, okay? And I'm saying to you, it is extremely difficult. I know that. But then the way that we can look at it and that we can truly be able to strengthen ourselves is to realize people before us gave their lives. They were murdered to make this stand. And for us to be able, there's another principle that I like to work with a lot, and that is the principle of gratitude.
And because if you live in gratitude, then for some reason, everything starts to flow and starts to move right. And so the gratitude that my wife has and that I have is that we were not strung up and hung. All we had to suffer.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you, because, you know, we have none of us have been able to hold ceremony, be in circle, any kind of contact, any kind of study. We are called a crime syndicate, so none of us can talk to the other. Thank you for saying that message, which I could not say. I'm not allowed to say anything until this is over. So, you know, in terms of encouragement or anything. The women that have followed me cannot listen to me encourage them. They're not allowed. So thank you.
Yeah. But the thing is that they know it because they're standing up. I mean, you've got almost 30 people that will not plea bargain. And God bless them, because that is the corrupt aspect of the judicial system, is they get paid by the United States government for every plea bargain they're able to get. And that's the reason you can't even get your attorneys to file a petition to dismiss, which is your constitutional right. But the corruption is so much into our judicial system, some of these attorneys don't even know how to do it.
Did you know that the national average is 96.4% of everyone charged with a crime end up plea bargaining because they collapse under the weight of what they're facing. And a lot of innocent people go to jail or take that plea bargain, which marks their life for the rest of their days. 96.4%, only 3.6% actually go to trial in this country.
That's right. And so
this is a rarefied group, I will say. This is a rarefied goddess and God-blessed group of people. Yeah.
And 80% of the people that are in jail because they talked rather than just keeping their mouth shut.
That's right. Let me say a little bit more on this particular topic, and then I want to move on to some other topic. But you got to know, when there's a process in the judicial system with law enforcement, is that when you arrest a man on something that you know the laws are illegal on that arrest, when you know it. So what you do is you pile everything on that person so he will capitulate. In other words, when they first arrested Linda and I in Utah, okay, we were placed under the impending belief that if we are prosecuted, we will spend the rest of our lives in prison. That's what it was. The rest of our lives we would spend in prison. That's what was laid upon us. And so what they do when they arrest somebody or when they're after somebody, such as myself, because that's who they're really after, they will arrest the wife, and we call it a hostage. So that what happened is after about 2 months or something, they came to me. The prosecuting attorneys came to me and said, James, we will let your wife off entirely if you will plea bargain. And we'll just give you, you know, something like a parking ticket. You may serve some time, but, you know, it won't be of anything, of any consequence. But we'll release your wife calmly from anything. I went to my wife with that. And I said, sweetheart, this is the plea deal that they're offering us. And she said to me and looked at me, she said, honey, we haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to do that. They came to her 3 times with that, and she refused all 3 times because she knew we had done nothing wrong. So I'm saying to you, what you people are doing is incredible, and you will change the course of history in your particular medicine that will benefit everyone. And for the listeners that are listening to this broadcast, I want you to put your prayers up for these people, that they maintain their strength and power and bless them this thing will get over with as soon as humanly possible. That's what I have.
Oh.
So,
you want to play some? You want to play some more bumper music at this point?
Yeah, let's do that.
All life is connected. Every single living thing. We're all part of the same. Flesh and blood.
I may have played that one before. I thought I'd upload it before. But anyway, sorry about that. I'll get...
somebody else came online.
Yeah, no, we have just have Mark and Don and same people.
Okay.
You wanted to ask Mark something.
Okay. Jeepers, something went across my mind.
You were just gonna ask Mark something.
I don't even know what it was, Mark.
May I share that little story about the ceremony, because it was so beautiful. The mother herself, we did an overnight ceremony, started it a little before sundown. The next morning, I went out into the garden in Sedona with my beautiful daughter, and in the backyard, there was a bluebird and a dove on the same branch, the bluebird of happiness and the dove of peace. And she saw this, and she said, you know, Mom, I think I can see why the other churches don't want this to be made available, because this is the body of God. I understand everything. Just in that one ceremony, she said, this is the body of God. This is the flesh of the Creator. I feel all of it now, and I can see why they don't want everyone to have it, because it's real.
Well, your daughter is just a beautiful young lady. That's all there is to it, and so are you. And I'm just honored to be associated with you. I think as you start to look on to what is available and what is going on, and there is a international movement of some of you people. I don't even think Blue Otter is aware of this, but Aqua of the Native American Church will soon be in association with the the Hospitaller, which is a offshoot of the Templars. And the Hospitallers were part of three different warrior groups during the Christian Crusades. However, the Hospitallers were people that were medicine people, were doctors, and were healers, is what they were. And so they survived the onslaught of these different countries, or the governments of the country, and they are still around. Well, they have requested me to be ordained or knighthooded or blessed into their society, which is recognized by the United Nations as a medical order.
They're the oldest of all the orders that are the chivalric order orders. And in other words, you would be knighted to the same degree as any of the ancient knights. They're the oldest.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm still not totally familiar with this, but this is going to happen in September, And so Aqua Native American Church will be totally, completely supported by the United Nations. And with that, and if Arizona continues, and the state of Hawaii and Utah continues to
harass
Aqua Native American Church members and and its churches, they're going to be in violation of the United Nations, and it could very well be that the United Nations will bring charges against these particular states. I mean, that's how big this is. This is humongous, and the only way, and what was told to me, was because of the manner that I stood up against the state of Utah and United States government. Because as it is right now, I am the only medicine person that has been vetted by the United States government as being authentic indigenous spiritual medicine believer. And that's the reason this group wants me into their society. And when they asked me, I said, I'd be honored, you know, and so I guess this ceremony will be conducted sometime in the mid part of September. And so I pray, as I did for the prosecuting attorneys in Utah. I also prayed for the attorney general in the state of Utah. I went to their offices and sat outside and prayed for them that their hearts would be softened and that they would not suffer any consequences for going up against the indigenous culture of this world. And I did that to both those people, and I'm doing the same thing now for in Arizona.
Oh my gosh, did we may have lost James temporarily. James, can you hear me? James, can you hear us? Okay, his call was dropped. We're going to call him back here real quick.
I'd like to speak to a little bit while you're doing that.
Sure,
about,
go ahead.
You know, people are trying to understand what does a goddess temple have to do with Native American culture.
James is back with us.
Oh, okay.
No, wait a second. Maybe it's his answer machine. Go ahead.
Please record your message.
Okay.
And you have finished.
Record your message. And my message is that I realize that if I believe that the earth is the mother, and she is, and that my religion has to do with honoring all aspects of the female aspect of the Creator, and as well, I've spent my whole life learning about the Divine Father. But when I began to study what is the mother aspect of God, the goddess, I was led to the concept that Earth is our mother, and that our bodies are the gift from the female aspect of the Creator. The source has both a male aspect and a female aspect. We live in duality. It is this twosiness that creates the oneness of creation. And I realized that if I wanted the temple, the goddess temple, and the tantra studies to stand strong in North America, that I needed to be in a religion that actually honors the earth. And because the North American, the indigenous culture is what honors and has not lost touch with the ceremonies with which we commune with nature, and that if I wanted to put roots down, if our temple, our religion, our beliefs wanted to put our roots deep into the soil, that we needed to align ourselves with First Nations teachings. That is what would allow us to both put our roots down and to grow tall up to the sky and to bear fruit for the community and for the people of this, of, you know, the United States and beyond. So that's how the Goddess Temple came to join up with First Nations, because whether in Europe, earth worshiping religions are called pagans. And here, and so paganism is very similar. They also believe that we see the divine creator in, we can see the divine father and mother in everything that is in creation. And when James was saying, I'm blessing those people that have been opposing us, I want to say that I pray every day for the team of people that have brought these charges against us, our religion, our beliefs, our practices, that they will, that this misunderstanding will be cleared up, and that they'll see a way for us to exist without threatening their sworn duty to uphold the laws. They have these sworn duties to prevent prostitution, and in the state of Arizona, prostitution has to do with, yes, there's a morality that they're trying to protect. They're trying to protect the health and well-being of the populace. And without, I would just say this, that the public servants involved in these charges are overworked and underpaid. They've got a huge, huge job to make sure that ignorance and violence and stupidity that goes on with every human culture has some ignorance, some stupidity, and some violence. And so that's what they're trying to keep a lid on. They're trying to keep a lid on harms that come to people. In the temples in Sedona and Phoenix, there were never any harms. There was no harm to property. There was no harm to life. There was no harm to the bodies of anyone. And in fact, we were uplifting people into their sovereignty. Another reason I knew that James was someone in these ancient teachings, we really pay attention to the generations. I'm 51, and James is a half a generation ahead of me. I believe he's in his late 60s, early 70s. And I kept asking myself, I know that there's an elder who can help me with this. And when you honor family, you honor your elders. And there's this aspect of, really wanting to hear the wisdom of those who have walked ahead of us on the path. And every time I've interacted with James Mooney and Bright Hawk Linda Mooney, they have always come around to this idea. I'll ask them, well, what do you think about this? They'll say, well, this is how we've done it. Now, go and do your own living ceremony. These people at the Oklava Native American Church, they stand for every human being and their right to do a living ceremony in the now that makes sense to you right now. So even as I call James and say, hey, tell me about the four directions and as above, so below. Tell me about your beliefs about earth, air, fire, and water, the great spirit, Mother Earth, Father Sky. And he's always happy to share those deep traditions of his faith. Then after he shared with me deeply what he knows, he always brings it back like this and says, now I've told you what we do. You take what rings true in your heart and you make living ceremony. And that's why I knew this church was for me, because they're not telling me how to do things. They're saying, here's some wonderful traditions that have held the test of time. Now you take that and what resonates as true for you, that becomes your religion, that becomes your living ceremony. That's why I wanted to bring this temple tribe under the umbrella of Oklava, because this is a Gnostic religion. There's Orthodox religion and Gnostic religion. Orthodox religion has a list of rules, how you must behave to be considered right with God. And then there are humans who set themselves up as the mouthpiece of God, and communities, congregations, that will literally look at another person's life and try to get in their heart and mind and say, well, I can see that you're wrong with God, and I'm going to punish you. I'm going to excommunicate you. You're wrong. You're not following the rule book over here. You're not following these sacred writings, and so we're gonna tear you apart. We're going to kick you out of the church. Heck, we're going to arrest you. And what I love about Oklava is that they truly believe in self-sovereignty. Every human being, and this is Gnostic religion, if you're a Christian, look up what gnosis means. Gnosis is a long ago ancient term, and it actually translates as Sophia in the Greek, Shekinah in the Hebrew, but it means that each soul has their own connection to God and Goddess, to the Source, to the Great Creator, and no man, no woman, no government, no church should get in the middle of how you relate to your Maker.
Well, Shekinah is the female, in Hebrew, is the female aspect of God.
Yeah, the Shekinah. Yeah, that's the feminine. And so instead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they actually had Father, Son, and Mother, which makes a lot more sense.
Well, the ironic thing about Christianity and the people that are persecuting you is that Christianity is about 75% Roman Greek paganism mixed with Judaism. It was more founded by Paul than it was. You know, it's the Puritans that we're still fighting.
Yes, they're long gone, by the way.
Most of them are
long gone.
They're gone.
If I can interject something, Warren, okay, we're not against anything. Okay, I'm not. Akhlova is not against anything.
I'm not either.
Okay, well, what Akhlova is about is, and its major objective is making these ancient ceremonies, these ancient traditions available to every person requesting it. That's the fundamental basis of everything that Akhlova is about. And secondly, is because of the way things are, we want to give protection to these people that are magnifying their heartfelt impressions to heal and to assist people to be empowered from these ancient ceremonies. That's what we're all about. And when you really think about it, for right now, the sacraments of the Native American Church have been under all kinds of pressures to suppress. The Tracy's ceremonies of honoring the holy anointing of the human body is under all kinds of pressures. But that's only two of the indigenous beliefs and practices that are under incredible circumstances that are being perpetrated by dismayed government agencies, let's put it that way. You look at the organic farms and organic industries that want to produce organic foods without all the pesticides. They're under assault. You look at herbologists. I mean, holy mackerel, if they prescribe comfrey, for goodness sakes, they could be put into jail for practicing medicine without a license. I mean, that is obnoxious when you think about it. And that's what Akhlova is about, is to protect these beautiful people that are being persecuted because they're not falling underneath the modality of money first and pride first. They're just wanting to serve our fellow human beings, and they're being persecuted. That's what Akhlova is about, is to prevent an environment. That's the reason I'm doing this radio broadcast, is so that people know there is a place that they can practice their sacred beliefs that are heartfelt, that don't have, quote, the authority of some other organization, as the AMA does, or as the Catholic Church, or whatever it is. It's their own personal beliefs. That's what Akhlova is about, is to promote and market these beliefs, not to gain money, but to heal more people. We take success by the amount of people that we've been able to assist, not by the amount of money that we've made. The money is simply makes us available so we can help out more people. That's what Akhlova is about, and to protect these people. And, you know, it's just, and it'll happen. It is happening. Right now, things are making rapid changes, and people
are standing up. Elders are coming from around the world, coming to the United States. I know 15 years ago that the Huicholes and the Tarahumaras and the Tepehuans of Mexico, the Aztecs of South America, all the way down to the tip of South America, Peru, were venturing up here quietly and silently, bringing sacred waters from their fountains on these different countries, and coming from their countries all the way to the United States, and hiking to the highest mountains of this continent, of the United States, and planting their waters, blessing us, that they call us little brothers, you know. They call their medicine people mamas. I'm speaking of the Kogis. The elders of the indigenous people are praying for us every day that we finally grow up and stop beating each other up for worshiping our beautiful ways. They're doing it, but they're doing it quietly. They're doing it with prayers. There's no big demonstrations going on. You know, there's none of that stuff. It is just being done in a very polite, beautiful, sacred, and effective manner. Peace, forgiveness. That is the way, and patience. That is the way things are going to change, and change forever. And the sacrifices that so many people, and what Linda and I went through, and what Tracy and her people are going through, they're just a few of the people. I know of another person right now who is in jail, in prison. He will not plea bargain. And that's Roger Christie, who's in Hawaii. And they busted him. He is one of the most loving, kindest human beings I've ever known. He was supplying Aklava Native American Church of the holy anointing oil, for goodness sakes. And not for any kind of money. He was just giving it to me, just saying, James, this is the oil that Christ used to cure leprosy. I'm gifting this to you and our church so that we can get the benefits of what Christ was using. And he's in prison, or he's in jail, and they're holding him without bond. They won't let him out on bond, okay? They're keeping him, thinking that they're going to break this guy's his soul. They're not going to break his soul. He's got the grandfathers supporting him. There's no way in the world he's going to ever plea bargain. And it's driving them nuts. They've held him in jail trying to get him to plea bargain for almost a year now. And he won't budge. Roger Christie. And he's just another. There are hundreds of people that are making this stand. But making the stand without plea bargaining. Because the moment you plea bargain, you're in trouble. That's all there is to it. You've capitulated. You've given up your powers. I tell you, I have trust. I have so much trust in the judicial system, providing you know what you're doing. And if you plea bargain, you give up your rights. You give up your rights. And there are so many people, such as Tracy and her 30 people or so, that are not giving up. They are standing strong. They are there. And the prayers, I know my elders and the elders that have been sending their emissaries up to this continent, planting their waters, their sacred waters on the top, tall mountaintops of every mountaintop of this nation. Waters have already been planted. They're watching us. Are they going to come and say, we're going to pay for your legal fees? Uh-uh. Their power is with their prayers. And that's what works. I'll never forget when I went crying to Clifford. Clifford, they took 15,000 of my money. He starts laughing. I mean, laughing. And I'm just, what are you laughing about? This is serious. They want to put me in prison for the rest of my life. And he starts laughing some more. And I said, what are you doing? I mean, this is serious. And he says, what, James? No way in the world you ever go in prison for the rest of your life. That's not going to happen. And second, the peyote. Did that peyote clean you up? I said, well, yeah, it did. He said, well, now they got 15,000 buttons. It's going to clean up the state of Utah, which it did. Guys, it's all happening.
But don't think that we're the only ones, the people that are doing sacred sacraments and peyote, and people that are doing the holy anointing are being sacrificed. There's others, and I want to keep, there's these medical marijuana dispensaries that need so much assistance. I want to help them all out. And we have the abilities to do that. But we've got to get the word out. And that's the reason for me wanting and putting so much energy in this podcast on a regular basis. There's all these other people that are doing these heartfelt ceremonies that are being persecuted or are afraid to be persecuted. And so they keep from practicing openly these wonderful traditions. This nonsense of suppressing your beauty has got to stop. It's got to stop. Anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to say for this time.
Yeah, you want me to go ahead and roll that clip number three again?
Sure, do that.
Okay.
A message from the sky guides my way through the night. The wisdom in your touch heals my heart.
Gorgeous music.
I sure appreciate hearing that. Well, it looks like we're in the last part of the last half hour of our program. Is that right?
Yeah, we got about 18 minutes to go, but we can always go over as much as you want. So, but whatever you want to do is fine.
Well, I feel pretty complete myself. Tracy, are you still there?
I am.
Is there anything that you would like to finalize? Or let's say, Mark, is there anything you would like to share?
Well, sort of, I guess. Back when you, probably an hour or more ago, you mentioned you were talking about forgiveness. And then you also mentioned the combination of charity and humility. And it was kind of interesting because right before you started talking about that, I was actually on the website reading the seven words of charity, humility, faith, honor, forgiveness, gratitude, and respect. Right? And what came into my mind as I was reading these seven words was something that Blue Otter and I had been talking with here in the for a little bit about the seven stars that are on the Cherokee flag, and how these seven words, as I was reading on your website, it came into my mind how those seven words would relate to those seven stars of the constellation we call the Big Dipper. Now, in the Lakota star teachings, the center part of the Big Dipper, of those seven stars, they're in the center, where, you know, kind of the box part or the ladle part of the Big Dipper. In the center of that is where they say, the Lakota say, Tuwin is, or the Blue Woman. And they say the Blue Woman is responsible for all souls being born on Earth. And she's also responsible when they leave Earth. So, as I was reading that website, and I was that came into my mind that these seven words, charity, humility, faith, honor, forgiveness, gratitude, and respect, are connected to those seven stars.
And see, Cherokee believe that the next world, we call it the blue world.
Blue otter.
Yeah.
So, but also something that's very interesting is the Big Dipper points to the pole star. And the pole star is what governs the precession of the equinoxes, or is related to it. And that tracks the world cycles. And the White Buffalo Calf Woman also spoke of the world cycles. But the White Buffalo Calf Woman is also associated with the Buffalo constellation, which is comprised of another set of stars, Sirius, Orion, and the Pleiades. Well, if you look at the Pleiades has a very similar star pattern to the seven stars of the Big Dipper.
That's right.
Seven stars of the Pleiades and seven stars of the Big Dipper. So there's a relation to that. And they actually point to each other, because if you follow the Big Dipper, it points to the North Star. And if you follow that around the Little Dipper, it actually points right over to the Pleiades. So as I was reading this, there's seven stars of the Big Dipper, seven stars of the Pleiades, and those seven words of charity, humility, faith, honor, forgiveness, gratitude, and respect on your website. And this is what was coming to me.
My gosh, that is absolutely so beautiful. And that is just, I've never looked at it in that that way at all. But that's, wow, that is beautiful. You know, it just, it's amazing to me. If you listen to the Elvis, you know, I'll never forget this, is that, you know, some of you may or may not be familiar with the Lakota Sioux and the Seminole way of doing sweat lodges. The sweat lodges, you've got to realize, in certain, in Mexico, they had a name for sweat lodges with the Huicholes and the Tarahumaras when I first went down there. They had a name for sweat lodges, but they didn't know anything about it. Because the diseases that the conquistadors brought to the land, and I think it was the 1400s or 1500s, the diseases that they brought when the indigenous people went into the sweat lodge, which used to be the cure-all for everything, was the sweat lodge, they would die with smallpox. And so they ended up becoming taboo. And so when I started to learn the traditions of the ceremonies, the Lakota Sioux put tobacco ties in their sweats. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah, they put tobacco ties. Well, I kind of thought that was kind of stupid, to be frank with you. And they used different colors, okay? And I just thought that was just weird. But I did it. I did it simply because that's the way I was being taught. And so I've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years one time, and I went to Clifford. I said, Clifford, I get this idea that I'm going to sit in a circle for about 4 days naked and et cetera, without food and water and all that. And he says, oh, where do you plan on doing that? And I says, well, I was thinking about going out the desert. And he says, well, that's September, James. And I says, well, yeah, I know. He says, well, down here in September, it's called dog days. And I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, the rattlesnakes are shedding their skins, and so they'll strike at anything. And so you need to take some precautions if you're going to be in the desert. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, you heard about cowboys and they're chewing tobacco, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I know about that. And he says, well, what I want you to do is go and get yourself a glass jug of water, and I want you to put a bunch of tea in that and let it sit out in the sun for a few days. And therefore, you'll have some tobacco tea. And I said, well, what good is that going to do? And he says, well, when you find this place that you're going to be, I want you to make a circle, a little trench, and I want you to put that tobacco tea in that trench. I said, what on earth for? And he kind of looked at me like I'm a stupid guy. And he says, well, what do you think that chewing tobacco was for? I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well,
cowboys on their horses would be chewing this tobacco, and there was a rattlesnake. They would spit at that rattlesnake, and they would strike at it, and it puts them to sleep. In other words, it killed them. Tobacco was poisonous to rattlesnakes. And so I ended up, and then he said, and if they happened to be bit by a rattlesnake, they would take that tobacco chew and place it on that rattlesnake bite.
That's right.
And it would suck the poison out.
Yep.
I said, oh, my gosh. And so I'm sitting in this circle on this sweat lodge, totally protected from any rattlesnakes, and I'm thinking about these tobacco ties. And then I realize inside that sweat lodge, people release all these different energies that they've been carrying around for most of their life, and then it dawned on me. If I didn't have tobacco ties in there, then those energies would bounce around inside and go into the other people, and nothing would get accomplished. So you have the tobacco ties inside, so it picks up those spirits, so they don't go back into the people.
Well, haven't you ever heard of the story of a Rolling Thunder Tola? Did I ever tell you? He had a man he thought was a CIA man that would show up and follow him around, and he said, you know, tobacco's for protection. And he says, all these people that come, they had thousands of people come here to Carlin, and he says, they give me bags of tobacco. He says, I hang them up on my wall in my bedroom. And he said, one day I was just getting ready to go to bed, and I leaned down to take my shoes off, and just as I leaned down, just where my head had been, a bullet came through the wall, and he says, had the a bag of tobacco not been there, he says, I don't believe I would have been warned. Says, but it's tobacco's for protection of the elders.
Well, I tell you, I really listen to these folks because they know what they're talking about. They really, really do. And they may say things like it doesn't really mean very much. But I got to tell you, it behooves you to listen to what they're saying. And I tell you, it behooves people to understand and know that there have been indigenous elders all the way from Peru coming up to our mountaintops and planting waters with prayers. And they are praying for us every day that we will grow up and that we will start walking the path in a manner that's going to be pleasing to the earth rather than disruptive to the earth. That the women of this earth and the mothers of this earth will be respected and honored as queens and as honorable mothers of this earth. I mean, there's no more beautiful and wonderful human being than in my mind as a mother. I mean, they give birth, they give life, they're an exhibition of courage, they're an exhibition of service. And to me, to be part of the matriarchal religion of this earth, it just brings honor to me every day of my life, and I really mean that sincerely. And I guess with those words, I feel that we're ready to have our closing song of Mother Earth.
We'll do that. We'll we'll roll the Mumber music for the during the normal when we get the show rolling. We'll do them every half hour, but I'll roll the last two now. And we'll just let everybody
can
listen.
Can I ask
go
one
ahead.
Thing?
Sure, go ahead.
If their heart is opened to the dilemma that are the current ONAC churches that are under attack, visit the Oklava Native American Church website, visit mothermedicine.org, and you can sign petitions. There's instructions there on how to give your support through email. If you've been blessed with abundance in your life, some kind of financial and material abundance, there is a 501c3 where you can, if you have a donation you'd like to make, if you have wisdom you'd like to share in addition to your prayers, any of that is always welcome. It always makes us feel happy and strong when we know that others are standing with us.
Oh. Okay, well, we're going to roll that music, and we're going to just, you'll be able to hear it, people won't be able to hear you, but here we go.
though the path is not easy, I'm grateful for this life, for the chance to behold your face again. When my sacred journey's over, when it all comes to an end, I'll enter the next life and live again. I hope.
As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.